Let us read from the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. O Lord our God, would you please open our minds with understanding and teachability on our part, that we may gloriously behold the wonder of your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is at the strike of 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And it took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, maybe some of you have read the whole book of Acts, or some maybe portions, but we can actually observe that in this chapter, or even in this particular text, and the rest of the book, Peter and John were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they were energized to preach the good news in that area with power, with such amazing result that even the power of the Holy Spirit flowed, particularly through the Apostle Peter, in saying to him that expecting on the part of the lame man from his birth money that will maintain his life. But he said, "Gold and silver have I none, but what I have, I give you, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." And immediately, the immediate result is that he stood up, and the bones of his ankle, where he was maimed from birth, he cannot walk, suddenly were all stretched into normalcy, and he walked, praising God, leaping with praise before the presence of God and the people who knew him day by day, passing when people come to the temple. They could not believe what they saw. This man, lame the rest of his life. But it happened. Even perhaps when he begged from James and John and Peter, he's only expecting one penny or two pennies at that time, just to maintain his life at that day. But he don't even expect that beyond that need, he received actually what he needed at that moment, is to be saved by grace through faith. Because he believed that the Jesus of Nazareth, that in the name of Jesus, the Nazarene, he will rise up and walk. And he believed that with all his heart. So he got saved. And he received that great, momentous testimony of God's work of his grace, which was completely an amazing event, that people who does not listen to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ were amazed at this great act of miraculous intervention of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the people, the name above only name, which the Jews rejected, it is in this name that this person who was lame from birth was made well. Amazing. Let's continue to be amazed, because the question that we are asked to be asked this morning, how about the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28:19-20, and even in Acts 1:8, if you will refer that later. It was here that our Lord Jesus said to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What an encouragement. Sometimes we forget that when we do a one-to-one or group sharing of the gospel, we fail to realize that the Lord is with us. The triune God is with us, especially through the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we struggle not knowing that. But the fact that when we know that, it should actually encourage us to move and talk and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the confidence that the word that we're going to share to the hopeless people in our community will make a difference in their lives. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These words of our Lord Jesus Christ were given as a commission to his followers, not only to them, but to us, so that more souls before he comes, especially the needy souls that are lost in our community, and for that matter around the world, will hear, will have a chance, and not to blame the church. "Oh, your people there on that church did not even manage to give me an attention to speak about this Jesus whom you worship and adore and serve." Let's continue that these people will have no chance to blame us on that final judgment day. That's why it's so encouraging that this message this morning will help us to recognize, or I hope that it will not fail us to recognize, the importance of this command to share the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ with others. We made the Great Commission, I'm sorry to say this, unknowingly, in our lack of response and desire to pray, so that this inner urge that the Holy Spirit will give his people, especially when we pray for more souls to be saved, we made this Great Commission as our great omission. we fail to recognize to include it in our prayer, so that we will be reminded of this great commission, not to omit it as our great omission. Because of this fact, that we are so strongly commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to look again at why every believer, every Christian, must hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that matter, the very life, the very teaching, the very living bread, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So from these verses, we can gather this lesson, these reminders. First, a Christian must share Christ because he knows the spiritual needs of others. Perhaps we know the spiritual needs of others, but are we strongly concerned that even the past hundreds of years ago, that even the man of God, that when they pray for souls to be saved, they cry for souls to be saved. Are we crying for souls to be saved? One of the Methodist preacher, which I probably have echoed as an illustration, I'd like to illustrate it again, that when Billy Graham came to England to do open-air evangelism and proclamation of the great good news of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, this is, I think it's Reverend Sangster. Have you heard of his name? Sangster? He said by letter and note, when before, on the preaching night of that day, Billy Graham, the Reverend Billy Graham, visited him in the hospital. And the only prayer that he can ask and echoed in his preaching, "Reverend Graham, will you please tell these people who will hear you, not only throughout the UK, but throughout the world, tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ is enough to meet their needs, even in time of death. Please echo this truth to them." Is that something that will not encourage you? That's something that even in our own deathbed, we can share to others, to the church. "Please, pastor, please, brother, please, sister, could you please send this message or echo it in your prayer that my sister is not yet saved, must be saved." That's a good thing to remember, because that is our desire for the rest of our relatives, friends who are not yet saved. If we have that lack of time because we are in the hospital, or you have a threatening death situation, you can leave a note so that your wish will be granted. So although Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, they could not help but see the lame man at the gate of the temple. They were concerned because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We cannot manufacture a crying and longing salvation experience for others without the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why Peter was filled with longing to share that in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. They knew that this man had a great need, and it was a need for the saving knowledge of Christ, not for the money. But it was indeed an immediate need that should be met at that hour. So, as Christians, we know the spiritual needs of others. But do we only at the end and mercy of praying for them? Or are we encouraging ourselves that we will be the one that God will use to meet that need? We cannot wait for other missionaries to do it. We ourselves is the answer to that need, because we need the spiritual needs of others, as verses 1 to 5 shows to us. Although Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, they have that foremost special need because they met him. They heard about this man and they met that need. So as we are encouraged to remind ourselves of the needs of others, from the Christian point of view, in our own personal experience, the experience of being separated from God should motivate us. Before we became a Christian, we are at the point of losing our soul forever. But by the mercy of God, someone, a friend, a pastor, or a sister, or a Christian member of your family prayed for you so that you will experience this genuine experience of being saved. So, being once a lost sinner, that should motivate us because we know our needs. And that should motivate us to remind ourselves the needs of others. From other experience of our own, the experience of being troubled by guilt caused by our numerous sin. Sin that per se is not just accumulating in the list of God's record, but the guilt that results from this deliberate sinning against God's commandments, it also increases. That's why sometimes we don't understand what's happening to us because of the guilt in our hearts. And guilt can be deadly. People are sent to end their lives because they don't understand what's going on. Or fail to recognize that sin, unconfessed sin, is making this guilt. And being used by God, that because they don't know that guilt is used by God, the conscience, which is where the guilt is being experienced and being troubled, pricking our conscience so that we will come back to God. Remember, guilt is good in itself because it reminds us of our need to come back to God and confess our sin. So let us not dismiss guilt as something, I am vexed with a lot of guilt. No, God is using it to allow us to come back in repentance of our sin. Also, the personal experience in the past of being uncomfortable around others because of our lack of spiritual understanding and knowledge. We don't know the word of God. Perhaps we heard it before. That's why we don't know what to do. We don't know what direction we should do. And that makes us uncomfortable. Experiencing this in the past should motivate us to remind ourselves of the needs of others. Because look at the down and out people around us and those who sell drugs. They don't receive instruction from their parents because they don't know the truth. And this great truth of the gospel should move us and not to be afraid to be on their aggressive behavior and their threatening bombings. But by the help of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to share this wonderful, amazing truth of changing lives through the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do it. Let's confess that to God, that we need that reminder. And from the teaching of the Bible, we should also be reminded of these needs of others, which we all know that all men are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men and women, adults, all nations, whether you're red, white, and green, or black, there's no green, of course, but all nations of the world are sinners. And there's only one way whereby their sins can be forgiven. And of course, reminding us by the verse 3:23 of Romans, but there is hope that sin, that being sinners brings death, because that promise that although we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is a gift through our Lord Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. 6:23 of Romans. So knowing all the solutions to this sin, we must allow ourselves to respond. As a reminder of our personal experience before, someone came to us and shared this good news to others, reminding us of our hopeless situation in sin. And we were awakened to realize that we need to be forgiven and be cleansed of our sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are great numbers of people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be our friends, our loved ones, or someone we do not know, but we meet them every day. As a Christian, don't these spiritual needs that we once experienced before we became a believer, does not these spiritual needs move and trouble you or trouble us? If we are not moved, how else can we move? It's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's not next month or next year, but it is today, as the Holy Spirit moved the apostles with such power, amazing result that came. And then secondly, as a Christian, we must share Christ because of what Christ has done for us. Peter said in Acts 3:6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. That in the name of Jesus the Nazarene, rise up and walk." That is the promise. Is it impossible to experience it? It happened. It happened to the apostles. Do you think our Lord Jesus Christ will just give them to them and keep it to them only? As a record, it is powerful. It has a power effect. That's why he sent the command, the Great Commission, to go into all the world and remind us that while you are doing this, I am with you always till the ends of the world. Now, we must also remember that the promise to all this hopeless condition of the needs of others should remind us of the great promise that we have memorized again and again, which is John 3:16. Because everlasting life is what people long. Look at the Friday. Every Friday evening, Thursday and Saturday, people are just wetting themselves and drowning themselves in alcohol and drugs, looking for that joy that this world cannot give. Everlasting life is what is offered to them, and that's the only solution to them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The forgiveness of sins that they need. Oh, Freud and the modern psychology say that there is nothing wrong in man. They need to be reformed. They need to be re-educated. We can be re-educated again and again about psychology. But the problem of sin can never be dealt with unless the Lord Jesus Christ's precious blood will be applied to them in reminding them of the truth that we once experienced, that only his precious blood can wash away those sins and give us hope. And the peace that people long to have. They can have a good time and talk and talk. And they can seemingly have peace while they are drunk. They can say all the things that they have to say to enjoy their momentary joy and celebration. But peace with God cannot be bought with money. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Romans 5:1. They need also joy. Something, happiness is different. The world gives happiness, but joy cannot be given. Because only God who can give that, according to Romans 1, 1 Peter 1:8, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That cannot be given by or manufactured by the world. It's only as a result of repentance and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Since Christ is the only hope for a world that is lost in sin, as we all know and realize now the needs of others, then we as Christians must share the Lord Jesus Christ's love and forgiveness to our friends around. So just for the sake of reminding ourselves, if you know you are a Christian and belong to Christ because you have believed in the gospel, there is something to do to share this gospel. And these are lessons that I might add in the end. How to give away your faith to others or share your faith to others. You can give away your faith to others by reminding ourselves that we cannot do it on our own. Prayer is important. Prayer can do this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray specifically for your friends and relatives to know your Savior. Keep a small card in your Bible or in your packet on which we can list the names of those loved ones to remember them in our prayer. Give the gospel away by your faith with compassion. Again, you cannot manufacture compassion. It is only the Holy Spirit who can do that in prayer. And also with real love and concern for these lost souls with real needs and problems. Remember, these people are not just lost sinners. They are precious souls. Precious souls. Let's give away personally our faith. In what way? In personal conversation. Sometimes we can have all these opportunities, conversing with others. Let us not make this mistake. Sometimes it's good to talk and fail to recognize the opportunity to share about our Lord Jesus Christ. So in prayer, God will use our testimony. It's the only way wherein we can converse with others. Sharing the faith on one-to-one basis is the most effective one, because in group, perhaps we lessly group ourselves to go out. But when you're on your own, with the power of the Holy Spirit, by prayer, God can give us the confidence to share this good news. Also, give it your faith spiritually. Witnessing in Acts of the Apostles in the book of Acts was, and in our day, was only effective in the Holy Spirit power. That's the only way we can do it. And lastly, aim to give your faith away in terms of living and speaking it with confidence. And it's like a daily habit. But of course, we cannot develop that quickly. It is a result of our fellowship with our triune God in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And if need be, sometimes even suffering for it. Remember, it entails suffering. You can be rebuked, you can be rejected, and be discouraged. But let us not be discouraged, because witnessing for Christ, as you all have read, even the lives of godly prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles, and in our days, in our generations, under Jesus ago, this made them well remembered, not because of their greatness of the knowledge of God's word, but they went out and willingly sacrificed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for their friends to be saved and their loved ones and their family members. Witnessing will help us to grow as Christians. There's no other one. We can pray and pray and read the word, but fail to go out, make it in conflict. We can pray, but if it's only prayer, it is incomplete. We must go out and share the good news to others. That's how the apostles did it, and they increased. One day, 3,000 souls were saved. Perhaps, is that too much to ask? Is it impossible to achieve? We can pray that impossible can be achieved according to God's will. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this truth of your word. Make us not only hearers of your word, but doers of them in these needy days. So unite us as a church, O Lord, to have this concern for others to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 346 is our last hymn.